go to Psalm chapter 18. Go to the book of Psalms in chapter 18. Psalm 48 is one of my favorite psalms to read, and so is Psalm chapter 18. All the Bible is good, and all the Bible is my favorite, but we all have some verses in the Bible that are our favorites, and Psalm 18 is one of mine because there are some wonderful truths in this chapter. I have them circled in my Bible, and I even have one that is underlined in my Bible. Just because it really speaks to me and it's verses that I can meditate upon, verses that have been a big help in my life, as the entire Bible has. But in Psalm 18, I want to read verses 1 through 3 and then skip down to verses 30 through 32. So verses 1 through 3 and then we'll skip down to verses 30 through 32. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Skip down to verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Down to verse 30, if you would. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Father, we do thank you this evening that we can always count upon you. You truly are reliable. Father, you have proven yourself time and time again. That you are a reliable God, you are a reliable Savior. Lord, you are a reliable friend. And Father, as we look at some things tonight to remind us of just the fact that you are reliable, I do pray that you would guide us through the Scriptures. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and that we would hear your voice speaking to us. I pray that this evening, Father, this hour would be very fruitful in our lives, Father. We never want to just go through a church service hearing. We want to learn, Father. We want to be guided by you. We want to see how to apply Scripture to our life. We want you, Lord, to do a great work in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, we want you to be glorified because you have redeemed us. You have delivered us. You have brought us up out of the miry clay. You've set our feet upon a rock. You have established our going. So Father, would you just encourage us tonight, guide us and direct us. But Father, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now again, tonight I want to talk to us about a proven reliability. And you already know that God has proven himself reliable in your life time and time again. This morning we talked about living victoriously. And to live victoriously truly is to always be reminded that we do have a God in heaven who has proven himself again time and time again that he is reliable, he is faithful, and he has provisions for us that we can trust in, that he will sustain us, and he will establish our going. Again, just go right to verse 30, and I want you to just read these verses again with me as it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? Wonderful words, wonderful truths that remind us of God's reliability in our life and his faithfulness. Now, as David writes this psalm, it is a time that David writes it. I don't know if you have this heading in your Bible. Some publishers will put these we'll put this heading in the Bible. Some leave it out. But this is the heading at the beginning of Psalm 18. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song. So chapter 18 is a song that David wrote unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So again, God was reliable in David's life, and God proved to David that he was a reliable God who would guide him, protect him, sustain him, and be there always for him. And David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And he says in verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. I mean, David had learned that God was reliable no matter who was against him, no matter if he was having a good day or a bad day. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has proven time and time again in your life, in my life, that he is reliable. So tonight I want us to think about some of these provisions that God is reliable in. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God has proven time and time again that his provisions are reliable because he loves us, he cherishes us, we are his children, and his presence always abides with us. His presence in my life, in your life, is reliable. God's always reliable with abiding with us. In verse number 2, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. David learned as he was on the run for his life that God was his sustainer, that God was his protection, that God was his rock and his fortress. I mean, when you read through the life of David, when he was on the run, hiding himself in caves and in the cave of Adullam, where Saul would come in and refresh himself, come out of the heat of the day, and just happen by chance to go into the cave where David was hiding, and Saul didn't know he was there. He was just going in to get out of the heat, to refresh himself, and yet David is in that cave, and God kept Saul and his men from even knowing he was in there until after Saul came out of the cave, after David was tempted by one of his men that, oh, look, God has given him into your hands, take his life. And David wouldn't. David would not raise his hand against God's anointed, though Saul was his enemy, yet God had ordained King Saul to be king. And David said, I am not putting my hand against him. But what he did do was cut off a piece of Saul's robe. And after he did it, the Bible records that David's heart smit him. He felt guilty in his heart for even doing that. But when Saul would leave the cave, David would come to the entrance of the cave, hold up that piece of garment he cut off to even show to King Saul that, hey, you know what? Your life was in my hand and I could have killed you, but I didn't do it. Why? Because David was trusting God. David had learned time and time again as for the time that Saul was king for 40 years, David would learn that God was reliable. God was faithful to David, and God's presence in David's life was more important than what David wanted. Psalm 46 and verse 1, if you would. Keep a finger in Psalm 18, but go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, 1 and 2, David here writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. One aspect of living victoriously, like we talked about this morning, is found right here, that nothing should cause us to be afraid, no matter what it is, all right? No matter if it's financial difficulty, no matter if it's employment difficulty, whatever it is that we face in life, nothing should cause us to become afraid, because God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Again, God's presence is always there for us. Again, Psalm 56:3 is a wonderful psalm to meditate upon, to even sing. when you find yourself being troubled, because it says, you know what, go to Psalm 56 and verse 3. Psalm 56 and verse 3, the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And many times that's all David could do, was just trust in God and in God's reliability in his life, and the fact that God's presence was in David's life. So God's presence abides with us to protect us, as he did in David's life, and to go with us everywhere we go, guiding us, directing us, sustaining us, giving us the wisdom that we need. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said this to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus gives his disciples an assignment that is beyond their capability. Go ye into all the world. Can you imagine on that day when he is speaking to those 11 disciples, because Judas Iscariot betrayed him, committed suicide. You have 11 left until Matthias is ordained to be with them later on, that Jesus gives them something that is beyond their capability, but then says, I'll be with you. Everywhere you go, I'll be with you, meaning God would be the one to help them accomplish God's will in their life. What was David called to be? He was called to be the next king. God had ordained him years before he would be the king. Right? As a young shepherd boy, Samuel comes to Jesse, comes to their hometown, and he's the one that anoints David upon God's recommendation, because Samuel would look at the seven sons of Jesse and think, well, surely this one, the oldest, who is tall, and kind of comparing him to King Saul, and think, well, surely he's the one. And God would just deny each one. And then Samuel's like, you got any other sons? Because I'm supposed to ordain one. I'm supposed to anoint one. And God has rejected all of these. Well, yeah, you know, there's one, but, you know, he's tending to the sheep. I'm glad that nobody is forgotten by God. I'm glad that you and I, though some people may forget us and some people may not think highly of you, yet God thinks highly of you. Because even David's father didn't think much to call David from the field at the beginning. But then Samuel tells him, you look it up, and Samuel says, well, we're not going to sit down and eat until he gets here. And as soon as David arrives on the scene, God says to Samuel, arise, anoint him, he's the one. So I'm glad that you and I are valuable to God. God thinks highly of us, and we ought to always remember that God will be with us wherever he sends us, whatever we do, wherever we go, the Lord is with us. So again, God's reliable in his presence in our life, and his provisions sustain us as well. Because if God is in your life, then God's going to sustain you. God's going to provide for you. He's going to sustain you as well, as long as we're trusting him and following him. There are conditions to God's promises, but they don't hinge upon him. He's faithful. It hinges upon us. Are we going to faithfully follow? Are we going to faithfully trust him? Are we going to faithfully rely upon him? Because when we don't see God sustaining us and providing for us, it's not that God has failed. Like we looked at this morning, living victoriously. God never fails. He has provided everything that every child of his needs to succeed in their life with him. We have to choose to take God at his word and walk with him. That's why David says in Psalm 18, I will love thee. And the best way for you and I to show our love to the Lord is to truly commit our life to him. As David says, the Lord is my rock. David wasn't trusting in anything else to help him in his life except the rock that's unmovable, which is Jesus Christ. And my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Again, God's provisions sustain us. Look, if you go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And really, it's a lifelong lesson that every child of God has to continue learning, being reminded of, and putting into practice, and that is being faithful at trusting God, following God, and believing He is reliable, because though our life changes at different times, because, you know, we have different life stages, right? I'm not a young adult anymore. I just celebrated my 50th birthday, and I know to some, you're still a young chicken. You're still a young, you know. But to me, it's like, okay, I'm 50. I remember being 21 and thinking, I got the whole world ahead of me. I got life ahead of me. And then it's like, now I'm looking back going, where'd the time go? What happened, right? But we learn, we continue to learn, though, even though our life changes, people come and go in our life, circumstances change, home life changes, I mean, jobs change, things change in our life, yet we continue to learn that we have a God in heaven who never changes. His provisions never change. As David says, you know, He's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. He never changes. He absolutely never changes. But we have to continue to learn how to rely upon Him and how to keep our focus on Him and how to let God do what He wants to do in our life. In Psalm 37, you look at verse 23 through 26 in regards to the fact that God provides sustainability in our life. All right? He provides sustainability in our life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Are you delighting in the way of the Lord today? Because He has established your going. Though he fall, speaking of us, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And David goes on to say, I've been young, and now am old, right? We remember the young years. But now we're older. Not just the physical age, but the spiritual age. You remember being a young Christian, newly saved, learning how to trust the Lord, learning how to depend upon the Lord, learning how to apply God's word to your life. David says, I've been young and now I'm old. Right? Being mature. Being a mature Christian, an older Christian. I've learned some lessons during this time as a child of God. He says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Truly in America, in the country we live in, there are so many opportunities for people to get food. That no one truly goes hungry in our country unless they choose to. Because there are a lot of opportunities, whether you get government help, whether you go to a church that has, you know, a pantry, soup kitchens, whatever. Sometimes people think that they don't have because, you know, think, well, you know, I've gone without bread. No, truly not. Now, sometimes my kids may think, you know, there's nothing to eat in the house. That's because there's no snacks, right? There's no junk food. There's food. Our home has never gone without food, just we've gone without snacks at different times. And as David says, he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, because God always takes care of his children. He's the perfect father. He's the perfect provider. He's the perfect protector. He's the perfect sustainer, right? He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now, I know that there are people that have gone without food and had to pray their food in because there was nothing, all right? And one of the men that I always think about in this regards is George Mueller, a great man of faith, someone who learned to trust God, someone who learned how to truly put his faith where his mouth was. Because it's easy to say, I trust the Lord. God always provide. But when that moment comes that you really have to do, as James says, put your faith in practice, George Mueller always did. Because God laid upon his heart to start an orphanage because children were being neglected. Families didn't want to take care of their children. Parents were dying from these diseases. I forget what disease it was during the time, but you know, children were being neglected because family members were dying. Nobody wanted to take care of them, and God laid upon his heart and his wife's heart to start an orphanage. No money. No money whatsoever. And yet he would start it without ever asking anybody for a dime. Simply praying, and Lord, this is the ministry you wanted me to have, so Lord, you've got to provide for it. Because he didn't want to ask people for money. Because he used to be a thief and a liar. He used to be a drunk. He used to cheat people out of their money before he got saved. Therefore, he was determined, I'm not going to ask anybody for any money. Lord, I'm just going to trust you to provide for this orphanage. And you read the history of George Mueller, and there were times, I mean, eyewitness accounts, because he had people that would later come and help in the orphanages and work, and they would work in the kitchen to prepare meals and stuff for these kids. I mean, he had hundreds and hundreds of kids. By the time that he passed on, I believe he had three different orphanages, three different buildings that he took care of children. And this one, it always just amazes me and really makes me, you know, feel ashamed that my faith isn't as big as his faith was. Because on this one account, George Mueller would call all the children together. It was breakfast time. You have the workers, get all the children, you know, get them up, get them dressed, get them seating down at the table. And they had their plates, they had their cup, they had their, you know, silverware to use. And George Mueller would stand before them and pray and thank God for the food that's been provided when there was nothing in the kitchen. That's truly praying with faith and believing that God was going to provide, that the children didn't know there was nothing. You know what? The children never had to worry. They never sat around worrying about, you know, where their food was going to come. They always had food, but they didn't know that the man that loved them and took care of them was always having to pray the food in. And they would get donations and stuff, but many times George Mueller would have to pray that God would provide in some miraculous way. And on this one account, as he finished praying, there was a knock at the door. There was a knock at the door, and the baker had been burdened at 1 o'clock in the morning to get up and bake bread for the children. Then there was another knock on the door, and it was the milkman. His cart had broken down just outside the home, and he couldn't finish his route. He said, can you use the milk so it doesn't spoil? I can only imagine the smile on his face, on George Mueller's face, and the rejoicing in his heart that God had provided once again. And I say, like I said a minute ago, that when I think about George Mueller's faith and how I kind of feel ashamed because I've never had to pray in food. I've always had food. Again, it may not always have been what I wanted, but I've always had food, right? I've always had shelter, roof over my head. But there are things that you and I have to pray about. There are things that we have to trust the Lord about that maybe nobody else knows. Nobody else knows the need. But God knows the need, because again, God had burdened a baker at 1 o'clock in the morning to get up and bake bread. George Mueller didn't know that. And the baker didn't really know if they needed it. He was just following God's burden upon his heart. And I'm sure that you have some testimonies of where God has provided for you that nobody knew the burden, but God moved upon somebody's heart. God is reliable, he's faithful, and always sustaining us with his provisions. Philippians 4:19, Paul writes to the believers at Philippi and says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our faith is very important to the Lord. You know what? Not only does God provide his presence and sustain us with provisions, but he guides us with his wisdom. One of the most important things you and I need in the life we're living is God's wisdom, so we live this life according to his will, and we're always reminded that we need to trust the Lord and depend upon him and have the faith like David did as he writes Psalm 18. Look at James chapter 1 if you would. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. James writes here, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God promises to give wisdom. Not man's wisdom, but to give of his wisdom. His wisdom that is perfect. His wisdom that is right. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." Don't ever try to make a deal with God. "God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you." God doesn't need us. We need him. Some people think they're a gift to God. God got a great deal when he saved me. No. We got a great deal when he saved us, right? Because he gave us of his son, and we all need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom to guide our marriages, to guide our families, to be good stewards of the things that God has blessed us with, to be good employers, all the things that our life pertains to. We need God's wisdom, and God is reliable to always give us his wisdom, and his wisdom has been proven to be reliable. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." God's wisdom always leads us in the right direction, always causes us to make the right decisions. It is reliable. The second thing I want you to think about, though, is God's promises are reliable, right? His presence is reliable. He's always in our life. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God actually wants to do great and mighty things in the lives of his children. Because in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." But God's promises are reliable because he promises strength. David says, "I will love thee," verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And he goes on to, again, list a rock, and he's a deliverer, and he's his strength, and his buckler, and the horn of his salvation, and his high tower. God promises to give us his strength to help us to endure life, to endure the life that we have to live. "I can do all things through Christ with which strengtheneth me." Sometimes we kind of limit that verse to certain things in our life. Okay, I know God will give me the strength to be able to be a good pastor, a good Bible teacher, a good father, a good husband, a good employer. But he also gives us the strength to be able to forgive, to love, to serve, to trust him, to rely upon him. Because all areas of our life, I'll say the temporal and the eternal, the carnal and the spiritual, he gives us of his strength to accomplish it for his glory. Again, that's why Paul was able to say, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Because Paul knew that Jesus was speaking the truth when Jesus said, "In your weakness, I'm strong." It's okay to be weak. People don't like to be weak. They don't like people to know that they're weak. But someone knows we're weak, and he wants to be our strength. He wants to be the strength of his children, and he promises his strength is reliable. Because honestly, you think about Peter. Peter told the Lord, though all men deny you, I won't deny you. He was relying upon his own ability. Now, I believe that he was saying it sincerely with a heart of love for Christ, that how could I deny you? You're the Son of God. You're Christ. I've seen the miracles. I've heard your words, your gracious words, your powerful words. Thinking, how could I deny you? But it only took a moment of Peter's life. The pressure, seeing Jesus condemned to death, he's in the high priest's palace, he's out there warming himself at the fire with everybody else, the darkest of night, just the demonic activity going on around, and he's not where he should be. Because remember, the unnamed disciple in that same situation let Peter in. Peter was standing at the door. But then this other disciple, which I believe is Nicodemus, brought him in. But he still didn't go closer to Jesus. And it's in that moment when he was asked, or when it was said of him, you're one of his. You're a disciple of his. Your speech betrayeth thee. You're a Galilean. In that moment, those three times, he needed to rely upon the strength of the Lord to help him to be bold as a lion and say, yes, I am. But he was caught off guard. He was caught off guard because he did not adhere to Jesus when Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Because those moments come where our faith is tested to rely upon the Lord or to rely upon our own ability. And obviously, Peter failed. He fell the test. Again, you know that Jesus would come and he would restore the relationship, but the Lord's strength is something that he has promised us through Christ that we can do all things. You know what? I can stand up and be a bold Christian and let my testimony shine and not be ashamed of it, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see, right? They may see that light and glorify your Father. They may see that Christ truly has made a difference in the life he's redeemed. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. God promises that we have more power in us because it is the power of Christ that helps us to remain faithful to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God's promises are reliable because he cares for us. We have greater power in us because of Christ, and we can do all things through the power and the strength of Christ. Now, very quickly, when you look at, go back, if you're not there, go back to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, again, verse 3, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. I shall be saved from my enemies. God's word is true. God's not a man that he should lie. His word is true. He keeps his promises. He's the only one that has always kept every promise that he's made. Why? Because his promises are infallible. The Bible says in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Aren't you glad that God cannot lie? Now, sometimes you kind of take people at their word and you kind of, I hope they're telling me the truth. I hope they'll be there when I need them. I hope they'll do this, right? We don't have to question God. We know that God is reliable. We know that he's not a man that he should lie. He keeps his word. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall not he do? Or hath he spoken and shall not he make it good? God always does what he says. And whatever he's told you, he'll keep his promise. We can rely upon his promises because they're infallible and they're immutable. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? He doesn't change with time. He doesn't change with the culture or the society, right? He is the same. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Aren't you glad that he stays a gracious God? He never changes. He's gracious, he's long-suffering, right? He's a God of second chances, and he continues to work in my life and your life, helping us to be conformed more into the image of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the same. But also, his eternal promises. His eternal promises never change. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. His words never change. His promises never change. The promises that you read in Scripture that were written down hundreds and thousands of years ago are still good today. Aren't you glad that his promise of salvation hasn't changed? I mean, you trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed what the Bible says, that he died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. I mean, our faith is in that. It never changes. His word never changes. That's why you and I can rely upon his word, and that's why it can be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It is our guide. It is like a mirror. We look into it, and we see what's wrong in our life. We see how to be more like Christ. We see how to trust the Lord, how others have trusted the Lord and have been blessed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad God's word is settled in heaven, because man has tried destroying God's word from day one. The devil in the Garden of Eden, man throughout time has tried to stamp out God's word and try to keep people from publishing God's word and try to keep people from translating it so the common man can have a copy of God's word. But God's word is settled in heaven. But I'm glad that it's also protected down here, where we can actually have a copy of God's word and know I have God's word. All right? Now, I know there's a debate around that, but I'm not into debates. I'm just into the truth. God's given me something that will guide my life, that will help me get closer to him, to know what he loves, to know what he hates, and to know what his will is for my life. Again, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's promises are infallible, immutable, they are eternal, they are reliable. This is the only book that truly is reliable. Man has written many books. The Bible even talks about that the writing of books, it never ends. I mean, people can write on the same topic 1,000 times, right? Because everyone has their opinion, everybody has their view of things, and there's thousands of books on any given topic. But there's only one book that changes a life for eternity. There's only one book that truly helps the soul be at ease and at peace. There's only one book that helps to transform somebody from the inside out, because it's a spiritual book. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Last place I want us to think about again, we read it, but go Psalm 18 if you're not there, and let's finish with verses 30 through 32. You already know this, but our God is reliable. And we find this in verse 30 through 32 of Psalm 18. As for God, his way is perfect. There's not a single person in this world that is perfect. They might have some good ideas that have helped us along life's journey, but God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him.
For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Our way is made perfect by God. The course that you and I are on, that he has placed us upon, it's perfect with him. And we can finish the course with Christ. And we can finish it perfectly. Doesn't mean without mistakes, because we make mistakes. But we can finish it perfectly according to God's will. And God's will is for us to finish the course that we're on. Finish the race that he has placed before us, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. But continuing to remind ourselves and to live it, that, you know what, our God has proven his reliability, so I need to keep adding his word to my life. I need to keep following it, keep trusting him, keep obeying him. I don't want God to view me as someone committing witchcraft by rebellion, by not following by faith, right? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I want to be found faithful, faithfully trusting him, faithfully following him, faithfully applying his word to my life with the help of his Holy Spirit that he's given me.